clap along. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior, God my Yes, he is. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah is to our God. Every praise, every praise, every praise. Every praise to our God.
Just a quick scripture that came to mind. hope I find it. Some. Gonna search for it. Find it. Bear with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. My King should die for me. Amazing love, and I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Be that you, my King, should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. Jesus, you are my King. Oh, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. Amazing love, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love. Amazing love, and I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you
in all I do, I honor you. In all I do,
I honor you.
You are my King. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Oh, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless my soul, Lord. Oh, my soul. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Bless the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. To the King and Lord of Lords, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Praise you, Lord.
For all the thirsty need of a river, for the sleeping heart waking from the slumber, let everyone still standing at the shoreline come. For all the hurting souls running from the healer, for all the skeptics running from an answer, let everyone who hears these words say, come.
Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hear the Spirit and the Bride say, come. For all the Pharisees empty on the inside, for all the lovers who spent their love on a lie, for the forgotten, the Father's heart says, come. For the fatherless looking for approval, for all the daughters who never heard they're beautiful, let everyone who hears these words say, come. For the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hear the Spirit and the Bride say, come. For the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hear the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come again. Until then, until then, grace and peace be ours. Amen, amen, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come again. Until then, until then, grace and peace be ours. Amen, until you come again. Peace be ours, amen, till you come again, till you come again. For the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
And the Spirit
and the Bride say, come. Spirit and the Bride say, come. Hear the Spirit and the Bride say,
come. Okay, our scripture reading this morning. Everybody, please stand. It's coming out of 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exists, exalts itself, against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We have any kids to children today? No. Oh. Wow. If you have a Bible, like, you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to cover a lot of ground. There's going to be a lot of nuggets in this, so we'll have observations along the way. And I want to thank for everybody that's online today. I want to thank everyone that's here today to be in the house of the Lord. There's no better place to be. I'm going to try to give you a little bit of background on some of these things. We're going to look at the life of the young shepherd boy, David. He was anointed at 15 years of age. Now, how many 15-year-olds today, what would they be doing? Well, they probably wouldn't be here. They'd probably be on their video games or on their phones or doing something else. But here we got a young man at 15 years of age. He became king at the age of 30, and he and his reign of Israel lasted 40 years. That's pretty powerful. I'm gonna read from verse 37 to 41, and then we'll go into a time of prayer. Then we're gonna come back and we're gonna look at this setting. We're gonna look at Saul. We're also gonna see. Saul was very jealous. He originally was not a good king, but more so the life of David. In verse 37, it says that David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. He also armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And of course, proving means tested it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Let me say that again. The man that bare the shield went before him. Keep that in mind. Bow our heads. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that we're in your house, Lord. And Father, thank you for the songs that were played today. Father, thank you that this was a confirmation. Thank you, Brother Johnny, because it was a confirmation unto me this morning. Father, thank you for allowing me to occupy your holy ground on this pulpit today. And Father, I thank you for those that listening, Lord, that this message will come and penetrate their heart today as it will ours. And may we have an understanding of an old story that's really a relevant story today. And the title of this message is that the right armor brings triumph. The wrong armor brings defeat. And so may we put on the armor of God, the right armor. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Have your way today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now if you'll turn with me back to, we'll go start back with 1 Samuel 17, first verse. It says, Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at, now Norman, you may help me because I'm going to butcher some of these words, these names. Shokoth, which belongs to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekiah in Ephesus Damim. And Saul, the men of Israel, gathered together and pitched by the valley of Eli and set this valley in array against the Philistines. Philistines. Norman, can you show that picture? We got a picture of this valley. This is the Valley of Eli. And Succoth is to the north up here. And you'll see that that's where Saul's army was. And over to the east of it, south and east, is the Ephesus Damim, which is the Philistine camp. Now, for months, they've been in this valley, and you know, fighting, bickering, things going back and forth. Finally, they come to a stalemate. And so the armies, the Philistines said, hey, you know what? You said we're sending out our best warrior. You bring out your best warrior. We'll battle. Whoever wins, the other army will succumb to the other army and be their slaves. But that didn't turn out so well. We're going to see in this. We're going to pick up the story here. You know, before I do that, I want to look at these names because they're going to come into play. The meaning of Succoth is the Hebrew word for thorns. Azekiah means the strength of walls. The Ephesus, the Mem, literally means the boundary of the bloods. And Elah means fear. And when we get the caption means it's if we get into a thorny situation with our backs against the wall, down in the valley of fear, we have a savior to help us. We have Jesus, the great. And they call David, you know, the great Jesus, but he's not Jesus. All right. So this probably gives you a little bit of background of this story as we dive into it. In verse 3 it says, and the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there were a valley in between. We just mentioned that. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. He was from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, I can't tell you what that means. I don't have a clue. But under the research I was doing, the majority of people say he was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Pretty good size. Huge. When I was a young man, I have gone to some wrestling events, and I, you know, got to see Andre the Giant in person. He was 7 foot, 4 inches tall. He was a big man. Now he's gone on and he's passed, but his son still wrestles today. Everybody knows him as the Big Show. He's over 7 feet tall also, a big man. There's many basketball players that you see today that's over 7 feet tall. So they big in size, big in stature. But anyway, this was a big man. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. Now, I don't know what 5,000 shekel brass is. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and target of brass between the shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. Pretty important. One bearing a shield went before him. We just read just a couple of verses ago where we saw the shield bearer go before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants not Saul? Choose a man for you and let him come down to me. If he able to fight with me and to kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And that's what we were talking about. Stalemated in the valley. Your best against my best. How many of you here served in the military? I know a few of you have. Now, in my day, in our day, we had armor also, but it was called a battle dress uniform. In my battle dress uniform, I'm 6 foot, 275 pounds. I'm not a big man. I'm not a small man. But my battle dress uniform may not have fit your size. It would be heavy. It would probably, you know, it would be long. You probably can't maneuver in it. And vice versa. You may have a smaller frame. Your battle dress uniform, I would probably look like Jethro Bodine if I put on your battle dress uniform. And his sleeves may come up to here and you get the picture. So you cannot move. And you can't, if you're not comfortable in something, you can't move in it. You can't battle in it. So they design armor, they design uniforms to fit your size and your needs to do battle. Verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Well, that's half the battle right there. Fear takes you out of the battle. Yeah. It says, now David, the son of the Ephraite of the Bethlehem Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for old men in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went into battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next of him was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shemaiah. And David was the youngest. He was the youngest of 8. And the eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, he come out there every day, twice a day, antagonizing the Israel army. And calling them out. But they showed fear. Nobody would come forth. And Jesus said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren, an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp of thy brethren. Verse 18 says, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. And he took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array against army. This is the stalemate that I was talking about. And David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper and of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came upon the champion, the Philistine, Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And they're hearing this every day. And these men didn't stand up to him. He called them out, and he didn't come out. And when you're in battle, fear can play havoc on you. Fear can stop you engaging in the battle. That's why I love when Jesus says, fear not. And he gave us 365, one for every day. Fear not. See, they'd understand at that time that they weren't going into battle with the Lord, but one did. We're gonna see this. And it says, as the men of Israel, have you seen this man that come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke up to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now you got a young... So by this time, David is probably, 15 and a half, 16 years old. And you've got all these men much older than him that's afraid. All right? And you got a young man right here that said, hey, I can't stand for that. I'll stand up. It says, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Elab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Elab, look at this. Elab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now here's his own flesh and blood brother speaking out against him, for him speaking up. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? What have I done? And he turned from him toward the other and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when these words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent him before him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. This young man spoke and said, hey, you guys, more or less, are you guys, now this is my opinion, you guys are cowards? I'm not. I'll stand up. I'll stand up for Israel. I'll stand up against this blasphemy Philistine. And Saul said unto David, they are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and I smote him, and I delivered it out of the mouth, and when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. See, he knew as a young man, and he was already anointed king. Was not his time yet. But God's favor was upon him. And David's name in the Hebrew is beloved. It's translated beloved. So God's hand was on David. And we just read verse 37 through 41 about him putting on Saul's armor. And see, we have this motto, we lead from the front, not from the rear. And if I'm going into battle, I'm going to lead from the front. You can't lead it from the rear. And the other thing is, you got to run to the battle. You can't run away from it. If you run away from it, you're already defeated. See? But if you run and you engage it in the battle, and you know where your strength comes from, you know where your help comes from, then you can run in that battle with confidence. And if I'm not with the Lord and I take it upon myself, then there could be dire consequences. I'm not going to read that again. I'm going to go to skip down to verse 42. Because David already said, I can't maneuver in your armor. Your armor's too big. I can't even pick up the sword. So I can't do battle with this. I got to go what I know to be the truth. To in my comfort zone, I'm comfort with a sling, and I'm comfort with a rock. Because David chose five smooth stones. We're going to get to that in a minute. And because a stone and a sling can be very deadly. We're going to see it be very deadly. Because it can be like a missile coming out of that sling. And we're going to pick it up, and we're going to look at this, because there's something that we... Remember that we said a couple times already, two or three times, about the shield bearer. The shield bearer. The shield bearer is before the giant, right? Well, why is that? Giants have poor eyesight. So David picked up on that. See, David picked up on that. that a giant that can't see, he can't maneuver. Hmm. And I believe the Lord showed him that. We're going to pick it up in verse 42. It says, when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and a ruddy of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, listen to this, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And this Philistine cursed David by his gods. Ooh, big mistake. Cursed him. Putting down Israel. Cursing his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. I'm going to say that again because you're going to hear this again. It says, and the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Verse 45 says, then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So Goliath's own words of his defiance unto David, David just turned it around. Verse 47 says, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and fell upon him, his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote that Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. David didn't use a sword. David didn't need a sword. David had one fight in his battle. But David had the courage and the strength to know where his strength came from. It didn't come from himself. It came from the Lord God Almighty. He'll fight your battle, but you have to engage that battle. You have to ask him, and he will do it. He is faithful. In verse 51 we pick up, says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath, therefore, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The battle was over. David took his own, took Goliath's own equipment and slayed him with it. It says, and the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until you come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shearim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. Can you imagine that today? You seeing this young boy walking around with this big giant's head, you know, walking around with it, keeping it as a mere trophy, but he wasn't using it as a trophy. We're going to see later on why the head of Goliath is significant. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. And as a David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine still in his hand. Now, let's get this picture. We're in a, you know, they're in a valley. They've been there for months. They, you know, when you're engaging in battle then, it's not like they had timeouts. Now, you're slinging a sword. You're tired. You know, it's like an old boxer. You know, if you're throwing so many punches, them arms get tired. And these swords were heavy. That armor is heavy. They get tired, and you got the sun beating down on you. You're hot. You're going to get tired. But yeah, they battled on. So it's amazing. Verse 57 says, and as David returned from the slaughter of Philistine, okay, he went to Saul with the head of Goliath in his hand. Verse 58 says, and Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. I'm not going to read all of verse 18. I'm going to read a few verses out of it. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 7, and this, of course, they're coming back. You know, now they're victorious. And it says, and the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, this kind of infuriated Saul. Saul was a glory hog. Saul wanted it all, but he didn't want to fight for it. See, he didn't do what the Lord asked him to do, or he would have been victorious in many victories. And he did have some victories when the anointing was on him. But because he didn't do what the Lord asked of him, his anointing was taken away from him. And we pick up verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said that, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and they have ascribed but just thousands to me. He didn't like that. What could have been more about the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on, from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hands. So you see that jealousy, you see that rage Satan has come upon Saul, and he's trying to kill David. See? And I just find it amazing that David stayed loyal to Saul. David said, I will not go against your anointed one. It was not his time. Even though this young boy was anointed king, that all this time had to pass until it was his time. And in this time, things were leading up where Saul's reign would end. And David's would begin. In verse 11, he said, and Saul cast a javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. At least Saul recognized that the Lord's anointing is on David, and it was taken from Saul. It says, therefore Saul removed him from him and made his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all the ways, and the Lord was with him. He didn't speak out against Saul. He didn't react like we would. We would, you know what? Wait, what? No, buddy, it's on now. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He stayed loyal to Saul. And that just shows you the wisdom and the maturity level, even at a young age, of David. It said, but all of Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my older daughter, Merab, or Merab, however you say it, her will I give thee to wife, and only be thou valued for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistine be upon him. So much rage, so much jealousy, so much anger. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel, that I shall be the son-in-law to the king? David didn't even feel himself worthy. And here he is going into Saul's court, going to get his daughter's hand in marriage. It says, but it came to pass that time when Merab, Saul's daughter, would have been given to David, as she was given unto Adriel, the Methelathite, to the wife. Now, I don't know what that means. And Micah, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and this thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him to her, that she may be a snare to him. See, there's an evil intent there. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to backdoor you here. See? And that the hand of the Philistine may be against him. He can't say that, hey, you know what? Young man, I'm pleased with you. Hey, you stood up when no others would. You ran to this battle, and you defeated this giant that we were all afraid of. Furthermore, we're not in the Philistine captivity. We're not slaves to the Philistines. Because of what you've done, we're grateful. But he's not doing that. He's still plotting here. In verse 22, it says, and Saul commanded his servant, saying, commune with David secretly and say, behold, the king hath delight in thee, and all his servants love thee. Now therefore be the king's son-in-law. See, yeah, I'm going to do this, but I'm reluctant to do it. I'm making out like, hey, this is good, but really have bad intentions. And that's not good. And Saul's servant spake these words in the ears of David. And David said, seemeth to you a light thing, be a king's son-in-law, seeing that I'm a poor man, and I lightly esteem. And the servants of Saul told him, saying, oh, this manner spake David. And Saul said that, thus shall ye say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines, to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistine. See, Saul did not want David to be successful. Saul wanted Goliath to slay David. But it didn't happen. See, what someone uses for evil, their evil intent, their evil heart, God turns it for the good. He'll bring the good out of it. And that happens in our life today. And he says, out of the heart the mouth speaketh. If you got evil, you got wicked in your heart, it can't help but come out. It's going to come out. And it not only will it come from the mouth, but it's your actions that go along with it. You'll have evil and hearted and calculating, deceiving actions. And if you have good, if you have love, like the fruits of the Spirit, if you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in your heart, then that's going to come out. The love is going to come out. I want to do for you because it's the right thing to do. It's because I love you. Not because it's really something I have to do, because it's coming out of here. Even David was a man after God's own heart. And he loved him. Did he mess up? Absolutely he did. Did he have issues? Yes, he had issues. But God loved him. And David loved the Lord. And the great psalmist, when you start reading these psalms and you see what David said, yeah, I messed up, Lord, but I ask for your forgiveness. I follow you all of my days. I'm not worthy, but you love me enough that you make a way for me. You can't ask for nothing better than that. If we try to do it on our own, we're going to mess it up. Time and time and time again. And in verse 27 it says, where David arose and he went, he and his men, and slew the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and he gave them full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Micah. Michael. His daughter to wife. And Saul saw and knew the Lord was with David, and that Micah, Saul's daughter, loved him. And Saul was yet more afraid of David. And Saul became David's enemy continually. In his house. It says, then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So that his name was much set. That no matter what Saul did to him, and David could have took Saul out a few times. But he, like you say again, he said, I will not go against your anointed one. And it wasn't his time. He wasn't king yet either. That he could stay loyal. Well, first and foremost, he was loyal to the Lord. If he wasn't, it might have been a different outcome. It might have been a different story. But David's loyalty was to the God of Israel first and foremost. And then his family and then Saul. You know, even as king. Now, I don't know about you. I know it would be hard to do, but you stay in a place where you gotta constantly watch your back. You know, you gotta be looking forward, because you never know when that spirit's gonna come flying by you. So it would be very, very difficult. And now we're gonna get into some good nuggets here. Oh. Of course, we talk about the Valley of Elah. It said, our Father's heart is full of his son Jesus. What he accomplished long ago on that hill called Mount Calvary is spoken about over and over throughout the Bible. The portion of Scripture is definitely no exception. It contains beautiful pictures of Jesus, and his finished work of redemption. Now we have read it when we looked at the names of the valley of the camps of Saul's camp, of the Philistine army's camp, and from the valley itself. Now we know for 40 days, that this giant, Goliath, day after day, twice a day, for these coming out here calling the Israeli army. It can imagine all the things that he called them. We can, you know, speculate on a lot of stuff, but nevertheless, he called them out. And said he had been hurling insults at God's people. His verbal abuse was heaped not only on the armies of Israel, but he boasted against their God. The Most High Creator of the universe. That's where he made a mistake. One of his biggest mistakes. He foolishly called him out and even went so far as to blaspheme his name. And of course, we know that's the most unpardonable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But he blasphemed the name of God. His second mistake was his underestimating the young, very small champion that God has sent out to comfort him. Now, we can put it this way. It may not have been the size of the dog in the fight. It might have been the size of the fight in the dog. Right? And you're some of the most vicious dogs are the chihuahuas. Right? It's not the big dogs. It's the. It seems like the chihuahua will bite you every time. As soon as you turn your back, he got you on the heel. So I can look at it like that. You know, it's not always the big dog. It's just the little dog. It's that fight in the dog. Says David, whose name means beloved. So God's favor was upon him, and his name is translated as beloved. He had picked up 5 smooth stones out of the brook by which way it still runs through the Elah Valley today. But get this. Why did he pick 5 smooth stones? Because 5 is the number of grace. 5 is the number of grace. David chose 5 smooth stones and put them in his pouch. That's amazing. He put one of the stones to his shepherd's sling, let it fly, and knocked the giant out in one shot. Now, we talked about the shield bearers because the giants had poor eyesight. And that's why that whenever Goliath was out there, that shield bearer was out there. And, you know, it's like having radio communications. Hey, go left, go right, you know, because he couldn't see very well. And that may be why and he was a large target. And David was well known with sling. Like I said before, earlier, that stone come out like a missile. And when you got the Lord guiding you, and that stone found the exact mark, sunk into his head, and took him out. It says it knocked the giant out with one shot. He didn't have to go for another. It was done. He then ran over and cut off the head of Goliath with the giant's sword, winning a great victory for Israel that day. When we're looking at the valley of the fear, it says, by giving heed to the taunts and lies of the enemy, Goliath remained at rest, seated unto, remain at rest, seated next to Jesus, and you will find that you cannot be drawn down into the valley of fear. Goliath was drawn down, because they were each on a mountainside and the valley in between, and they were stalemated, and Goliath was trying to draw him into this valley. That's what he tries to do to us today. Tries to draw us down in the valley. See, there's times that we got to walk through that valley. Sometimes you're on the mountaintop. You don't stay there. There'll be another valley. There'll be another mountaintop. Goliath is a typology of Satan, our accuser. Let me say that again. Goliath is a typology of Satan, our accuser. And he cannot cross the boundary of the blood. And what do we say that valley was named? The valley of the blood. Right? He couldn't cross it. And his name in Hebrew, and this is so cool right here when you look at this. His name in Hebrew means stripped or exile. Stripped or exile. Goliath was from the city of Gath, which in Hebrew means winepress. This calls to mind the verse of Revelation 19:15, where it says that Jesus himself treads out the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, having stripped principalities and powers, he spoiled them. And Goliath's name was mean what? Stripped and exiled. And the winepress, the city that he came from, means winepress. And it says Jesus, having stripped principalities and powers, he spoiled them. That's our Jesus, the greater David, defeating our Goliath, the devil, and taking away our reproach. Now we are no longer strangers and exiles subject to God's wrath. We are heirs and promises of God as beloved sons and daughters. He won the victory there, as he won at Calvary. And Calvary's going to play a part in this. Now what David did, he spoiled principalities of powers by defeating Goliath. You say that again. That's profound. Now what David did, he spoiled principalities and powers by defeating them. Talking about Goliath and company. In the name of the power of the Lord of hosts, making Goliath a stripped exile, carrying out judgment on him. So we just looked at it. It said that he was called in Hebrew stripped exile. And he was stripped. And he was exiled. David carried Goliath's head all the way to Jerusalem. It was buried outside the city walls in a place which much later became known as the place of the skull. Oh, wow. Wow, that got some attention there, didn't it? See, I've always wondered myself why it was called the place of the skull, because even the formation of Calvary kind of favors the skull, but that's not why. Goliath's head was placed there. Everybody came to that city of Jerusalem, saw this giant's head, and it was a deterrent. It was later on buried. But it was placed there. It says some 4,000 years later, Jesus, the greater David, our giant killer, the savior of the entire world, would die on a cross, thoroughly routing the greatest of all enemies, the serpent. His cross would be erected directly over the place where Goliath's head was buried. Our Jesus, the greater David, beloved, crushed once and for all the head of the greater Goliath. And he was faced at Calvary for us. He crushed our enemy. He crushed our enemy. So you don't have to live in fear today. There may be many battles that you may be going through. There may be physical battles. There may be emotional battles. There may be spiritual battles. We have some that are not with, or they're not here today, or not able to come today because they're facing physical battles. And 2 weeks ago, my friend succumbed to a battle. That his battle was ALS. I don't know what you're coming here today with. I don't know what the people online that are watching the live stream today, I don't know what battle you're facing today, but I do know this. If you hand it over and you commit it unto the Lord, He will fight your battle. He will slay your Goliath. There's all kind of healings. There's physical healings, there's emotional healings, there's spiritual healings, and there's the ultimate healing. My friend of 40 years faced the ultimate for healing. He's now walking the streets of gold. He now has a new glorified body that he's not in physical pain anymore. He's not restricted and confined to a wheelchair anymore. He's walking in and he's in the presence and the glory of the Lord. And one day, if we keep following the Lord, our God, in our heart, soul, and mind, it doesn't mean you're going to have it all together. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes and you're not going to mess up here and there. But I love this when he says, I'm slow to anger and I'm quick to forgive. It doesn't matter what you have done. There's not a sin but one that he cannot forgive. He forgives us of our sins. And he redeems us. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Washed in the Holy Ghost I am. I've been redeemed. And we need to be shouting for joy today. Hey, I have been redeemed. Enemy has no hold on me. Lift up his church today. See, we got people today, and you see them, that their hope is gone. They've been defeated. They want nothing to do with it. And it's a sad situation. See, what they fail to realize, that request that they are projecting, the request that we project, see, we have the assurance, the blessed assurance, see, that we've been saved and we've been washed, we've been covered, we've been sanctified in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those that don't know him, that reject him, he's going to grant that request for all eternity. See, we'll walk with the Lord for all eternity. That rejection, when he says, depart from me, you keeper of iniquity, I never knew you. Because you did not want me. You did not want to listen to me. You wanted to do it your way. And so I'm going to grant that request for all eternity. And it's not going to be pleasant. Love Matthew 25:31. It says, there'll be a day and time to come. I'll separate the sheep from the goats. Now he calls us his sheep. But what are sheep prone to do? Sheep are prone to wander. All right, we wander here, we wander there, and guess what? They got to have the shepherd to rein us back in. Well, if you see it in today's society, the majority want nothing to do with it. See, instead of, hey, I need to look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no, they want to go to John, Paul, George, and Ringo. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. The alternative is gloomy. Hell is a very real place. 2/3 of Jesus' ministry was preached on hell. He emphasized it. And if it wasn't so, he would have said so. But it is so. And it's a choice. And we, week in and week out, and many of you are in other groups and things, but may you be the light to others. You may be the only Bible a person will ever know. So may you have that word of encouragement. May you have, show that act of kindness. And maybe that person, it might turn their life around. It may not. But the problem is, when you planted that seed, when you did that act of kindness, when you said that word, then They can't say, well, I didn't hear it. I didn't know it. The Bible says that my word I have put on your heart so that you are without excuse. So when you stand before the Lord, you can't, he's going to say, cut it out. He says, my word I've put on your heart, but you would have none of it. Depart from me, because you're going here. And I don't know about you, that ain't a choice that I want to have. I want to know that I know that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that I profess and proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, my friend, that he sticks to me closer than a brother will. You really want to know where your friends and your family is at? Get down and out. See how many stick with you. See, the one that will stick with you through thick and thin, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you face with, you're right there with them. Jesus showed that agape love. And that agape love means that it doesn't matter. I'm not doing this for accolations. I'm not doing this to win a prize. I'm not doing this for personal gains. I'm doing this out of the heart. The love that I have for you, that's what I'm doing it for. And for my Lord. The love that he's shown me, he's shown you guys, every one of us here, that he has shown us, that he went to the cross, he died a sinner's death, that he shed his blood at Calvary, that he went through a heinous beating, heinous torture, balked, his beard pulled out, spat upon, just beaten to a pulp, whipped, cat and tail, with flesh or bone barrens, or like, well, you would say barrens, but nobody didn't have barrens at that time. But something like a hard metal would be in these whips, and it would tear flesh. But he done that for us, that agape love that he has for us. It's unconditional. There's no conditions on it. I do this of my own free will. And he did that for us. And if he did that for me, why can't I do it for others? I should be able to do that for others. Blessed be his name. He is good. And I just thank you guys today for allowing me to share this story. This is an old story, but it's a good story. It's relevant. It's more relevant today than it was back then, I believe. Oh, I guess it's time for me to land this plane. I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you today, Lord, that there may be many that they're going through a battle. We talk about emotional, physical, and spiritual battles. Many on the airways that listen to this live stream today are facing these same battles. They may have got a report from the doctor. May not have been good. Or two, it may be that they're running away from the Lord instead of running to him. Maybe there's those of us out here that are facing an emotional battle. Maybe someone has wronged you. Maybe you have wronged someone. And if you look at your memories and you look at your heart, God says, I'll right the wrong. And it may call upon his name. Lord, I'm a sinner. Here I am. What you see is what you get. I'm not standing before you as in prominent status I'm standing before you as a humble servant. The common man. And for Father, that when there's no one else to turn to, no one standing by my side, Father, I seek you. And I ask you to come into my life. May you be the Lord and the leader of my life. And my Father, may you cleanse me and wash me, Lord. Clothe me in your righteousness. You may be one of those here today, not to call anybody out. If you're here today and you're facing a Goliath today, just slip your hand up. Just nonchalantly, between you and the Lord right now. Just raise your hand. Father, I pray for those that, Father, that you was with King David, because King David knew where his source came from. Father, may we know that where our source come from today. Father, I ask, Lord, that may you send out your healing touch. You said that you sent your word and healed. Father, those that need a healing touch today, Lord, Father, may you heal those that need to be healed. Comfort those that need to be comforted. Give hope to the ones that have lost their hope. And give peace to the ones that have no peace. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never leaving us and never forsaking us, Lord. Thank you for sticking us closer to a brother, as a brother would. And Father, I pray and I lift up this church to you, Lord, this body of believers. Father, may you anoint each and every one here today. Father, may their light shine radiant, Lord, as Moses, when he was before you, that his face showed radiance and he had to wear a veil. And may your light shine before men today, Lord. And for everyone that comes in contact with them, Lord, may you equip them with words, wisdom, and knowledge so they'll have a word in season and out of season. Maybe it be something small and minute, but nothing is so small for you, Lord. You can take the tiniest thing and have a victorious outcome, Lord, as we saw in this story. It wasn't the sword that took down a mighty giant. It was a small stone and the power and the Lord. So we give you the grace, the glory, the honor, the prestige that you so richly deserve. And we call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you.
We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. you overcame. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin that left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. We have heard God's word, we have praised him in song, we have shared sweet fellowship a few moments long. As we leave this place in Jesus' tender care, we will share his love with people everywhere. May God keep us till we gather here, or we meet in the
people everywhere. May